true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
56 congressmen are calling for the termination of the section of the Voting Rights Act that mandates foreign language ballots because these ballots divide our country, increase the risk of voter error and fraud, and burden local taxpayers. They encourage linguistic separatism, which would give us problems like Canada has with the French language. Foreign language ballots contradict the melting pot ideal that has made the U.S. the most successful multi-ethnic nation on earth. Foreign language ballots don't make civic sense. You cannot vote unless you are a citizen, at least you're not supposed to. To become a naturalized American citizen, our law requires that you demonstrate an understanding of the English language, including an ability to read, write, and speak simple words and phrases in ordinary usage in the English language. Foreign language ballots are an open invitation to fraud because the Voting Rights Act requires foreign language election information, notices, forms, instructions, and assistance in addition to the ballots. This, plus the widespread availability of voter pamphlets and absentee ballot applications, gives an unscrupulous party operative countless ways to deceive voters about the issues and the candidates, and it increases the likelihood that non-citizens will vote illegally. Foreign language ballots are a direct attack on our civic unity, which the late Honorable Barbara Jordan said must be promoted by public policies that override the problems posed by our cultural and religious diversity. She said, "Such policies should help people learn to speak, read, and write English effectively. The right to vote should motivate immigrants to learn English." Eliminating foreign language ballots would be a major step toward more honest elections and the achievement of our national motto, E Pluribus Unum. That means, out of many, one nation. Voting should be a civic act that unites Americans, not one that divides us.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. If you agree that foreign language ballots in U.S. elections are a waste of money and contradict the ideal of our American melting pot, write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Ask for a free information packet on foreign language ballots. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Or online, eagleforum.org. And join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Headline news, the much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion, if we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England and the concentration camps throughout history. They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, now the man who says only in America do we buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and hot dog buns in packages of 8, Derry Brownfield.
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with the country flavor and some common sense points of view. As I have mentioned time and again, I think there is a good politician in Washington, D.C. I say a good one. He believes in the Constitution of the United States. He tries to do everything accordingly, and his name is Ron Paul. And he's quite concerned about the animal identification program. And he said the appropriations bill, the Ag Appropriations Bill, it's H.R. 5384, is expected to be on the House floor tomorrow. That'll be May the 17th for debate and the final vote. Now, Congressman Paul has introduced an amendment to block all funding for the National Animal Identification System at both the federal and the state levels. The program so far has had no congressional hearing, no debate. They're just pushing that thing through. And about the only salvation to do it through Congress is to get this thing blocked. Ron Paul has now introduced an amendment that would block all funding for the National Animal Identification System. And if there's ever a time to call Washington, get on the phone and say, hey, people, now we can go ahead, we can pass this amendment and get the animal ID out of our system. That would be the way to do it. Although, it doesn't seem to make a lot of difference what you and I want, because we're just the people. It doesn't make any difference what Ron Paul wants, because he's one of us. But when we buck the system, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Now, last night I watched the president. I made it a point, and I didn't know he was going to be on that early. He was on. It was sun was shining bright when he and I came in the house, and I said, I'm going to check and see when he's going to be on. And lo and behold, he was about a third of the way through his speech. It didn't take, but I think he was on like 16 minutes or something like that. It was a short speech. And I thought, he says all of these things. But, you know, we already have the laws on the books. And they're not going to do anything. If they send troops to the border, and he talked about sending 6,000 troops down there. What's 6,000? I mean, 6,000, 6,000, right. But if they don't have orders to shoot to kill, it's not going to make any difference. They're going to come right along, just cross the border, just as they've been doing. I have some interesting information here on these border crossings. First of all, we talked about what we need to do is arrest the people that are hiring the illegals. The laws are on the books, but it won't be done. They haven't done it. They won't be done it. In 2003, and I guess that's the last year we have this information on, only 22 companies were taken to court for hiring illegal aliens. Out of the 22, nobody went to jail. I don't know if they fined them or not, but if they did, it would be a itty-bitty baby kind of a fine. That same year, in 2003, illegal, we're saying illegal now, aliens stole 57,600 cars in Phoenix, Arizona. I didn't know there were 57,600 cars in Phoenix. Anyway, this is according to the Arizona Department of Motor Vehicle. 75% of the drugs in this country come across the United States-Mexican border. Each year, $128 billion in hard currency goes back to Mexico because of those drugs. The United States spends $80 billion on the war on drugs each year, and as I say, it's worth $128 billion to Mexicans. Illegal aliens fill 33% of our federal and state penitentiaries. You pay $1.6 billion annually in prison costs just to house, feed, and clothe illegal alien criminals. $60 billion are earned by illegal aliens in the United States each year, and that, of course, a little of it's going to be spent here in the United States. Much of that goes back to Mexico. A third to one-half of the illegal aliens work off the books. That means they're paid in cash. They pay no taxes, at least no income taxes. Percent of illegal aliens who are on welfare, up to 40% now. Okay, so much for the statistics here. We were talking about worksite arrests yesterday. I went into quite a bit of detail on how the government has gone after. I like the way they write that, some of these people, how they write government when they spell it out and syllabalize it. But anyway, the government has cracked down on a couple of Mexican restaurants owned by legal Mexicans, and they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they came up with about 20 arrests out of the whole thing. The average annual worksite arrest under Clinton, and I'm sure no Clinton person, don't get me wrong, but you know, we talk about the evils, the lesser of the evils. Well, it doesn't make any difference. They're still evil. Now, Clinton arrested 9,329 at the worksite, okay? Under President Bush, the annual average has been 456. The average annual notice of intent to fine the employers, these are the people that hire the illegals, under Clinton, 865, under Bush, 79. In 2004, under President Bush, only three notices of intent to fine employers of illegal aliens was done. So you can see they're not going to do anything. I don't care how nice a speech that was last night, and it all sounded good. And if you didn't know better, you'd say, hey, he's really changed. He's on the right track. I hope I'm wrong and he's right. But I'll tell you what, it's just like an old halter pulling horse. If once he pulls back and breaks loose, he knows the rest of his life that he has the ability to pull back and break loose, and sooner or later, he's going to do it again. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
And we have returned. Teddy Roosevelt came out with a very good comment, and I didn't bring it down here with me. I've seen it over and over and over again. I think we even had it in one of the chronicles in months past about immigrants and how immigrants are welcome. However, they should be obviously, ready to become American citizens, and they should understand English and learn English and speak English. They should also do the things that Americans do and forget what country they came from. By forget it, I mean they should pledge their allegiance to the United States, not to the flag, but to the United States itself. I have a couple of interesting stories here concerning this illegal immigration thing. And if you're a regular internet watcher, you have seen over and over and over again what we should do as far as going to Mexico, that the American citizen should be allowed to go to Mexico, slip into the border without a passport or without any kind of identification. Then ask for free food, a place to live, send their kids to Mexican schools, be allowed to get a job, and do all of these things that the Mexicans, and I shouldn't necessarily say Mexicans, but many of the immigrants that cross the Mexican border, and we know that there are a lot of people coming up here that are not of Mexican origin, but we're not allowed to do those things. I have here more information concerning what we're seeing as far as illegal immigration is concerned. In Los Angeles County alone, 10 million people, 40% of all workers in L.A. County, are working for cash and not paying taxes. 40%. Of the 10 million people in Los Angeles County, 5.1 million people speak English, 3.9 million speak only Spanish. Now, this is in L.A. County, all right? 95% of the warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. 75% of the people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are illegal aliens. For some reason, and I watched closely, I don't think... If Bush mentioned that last night, I must have sneezed or something at the time because I didn't hear him bringing up any of this. Over two-thirds of all births in Los Angeles County are to illegal alien Mexicans on Medi-Cal, whose births were paid for by taxpayers. Nearly 25% of all inmates in California detention centers are Mexican nationalists here illegally. Over 300,000 illegal aliens in Los Angeles County are living in garages. The FBI reports that half of all gang members in L.A. are illegal aliens from south of the border. And so it goes. When we come back, I have an interesting story about a couple that moved to Mexico and got a job. But stay tuned. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, online at DerryBrownfield.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
And we have returned. By the way, our telephone number is 1-800-973-3779. Your calls are welcome. Now, talking about Mexican workers or illegal alien workers, and then, of course, there are many that are legally working here in this country. But Barbara and Bill Custard were U.S. citizens, or they still are, but they went to Mexico to get a job. You say, why would you go to Mexico to get a job? Well, because Bill works for Southwest Bell, and they sent him to Mexico City. He spent 5 years down there. And it's interesting to see some of the hoops that he had to jump through, some of the T's he had to cross and the O's that he had to die. To Dot, he said, I worked under a tourist visa for 3 months and could legally renew it for 3 more months. After that, you were working illegally. I was technically illegal for 3 weeks waiting for my FM3 approval. Now, FM3 is some kind of an ID card they have there, okay? During that 6 months, our Mexican and U.S. attorneys were working to secure a permanent work visa called an FM3. It was in addition to my U.S. passport that I had to show each time I entered and left the country. Barbara was the same, except hers did not permit her to work. In other words, she couldn't work while she was down there. To apply for the FM3, I needed to submit the following notarized originals, no copies. had to have my original birth certificate for Barbara and me, our marriage certificate, all these originals, high school transcript and proof of graduation from high school, college transcript for every college I attended and proof of graduation from those colleges, two letters of recommendation from supervisors I had worked for at least 1 year, a letter from the St. Louis Chief of Police indicating that he had no arrest record in the United States and no outstanding warrants and was a citizen in good standing. Finally, he said he had to write a letter about himself that clearly stated why there was no Mexican citizen with his skills and why his skills were important to Mexico. Okay? All of the above were in English that had to be translated into Spanish, be certified as legal translations, and our signatures notarized. It produced a folder about an inch and a half thick with the English on the left side and the Spanish on the right. Once they were completed, Barbara and I spent about 5 hours accompanied by a Mexican attorney touring Mexican government office locations and being photographed and fingerprinted at least 3 times. At each location, and we remember at least 4 locations where we were instructed on Mexican tax, labor, housing, and criminal law, and that we were required to obey their laws or face the consequences. We could not protest any of the government's actions or we would be committing a felony. We paid out $4,000 in fees and bribes to complete the process. When this was done, we could legally bring in our household goods that were held by U.S. Customs in Laredo, Texas. This meant we rented furniture in Mexico while awaiting our goods. There were extensive fees involved here that the company paid. We could not buy a home, and we were required to rent at very high rates and under contract in compliance with Mexican law. We were required to get a Mexican driver's license. This was an amazing process. The company arranged for the licensing agency to come to our headquarters with their photography and fingerprint equipment and their laminating machine. We showed our United States license. We were photographed and fingerprinted again and issued the license instantly after paying out a $6 fee. We did not take a written or a driver's test. We never received any instructions on the rules of the road. Our only instruction was, and get this, people, get this, never give a Mexican policeman your license if stopped and asked. We were instructed to hold it against the inside window away from his grasp. If he got his hands on it, you would have to pay a ransom to get it back. Jeff, wonder what a cop would do here if you wanted to see your driver's license and you rolled a window up and held it up there. Be interesting to know, wouldn't it? I might do that if I ever get stopped again. We then had to pay and file Mexican income tax annually. The company's accountants did all our tax work for us. We just signed, and they prepared. About 20 legal-sized pages annually. Leaving the country meant turning in our FM3s or our FM numbers and certifying we were leaving no debt behind and had no outstanding legal affairs such as warrants or unpaid tickets or anything like that before our household goods were released to customs. It was a real adventure. And if any of our senators or congressmen went through it once, they'd have a different attitude toward Mexico. The Mexican government uses its vast military and police force to keep its citizens intimidated and compliant. They never protest at the White House or government offices, but do protest daily in front of the United States Embassy. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.